Thank you. Thank you so much. We were in a lot, very much need of those this week. If you've brought them here today and you can't come back at 1:30, please just bring them over to the Harvest House right after service today. There is a key underneath the mat there if you want to get in there to drop your stuff off. If you can make it at 1:30, we need guys with or ladies with trucks. If you got a trailer, that's great. We don't have as many clothes as we did last year. We got a lot, but there's not as many as there are last year. So we do need your help in bringing those clothes down to the fairgrounds this afternoon. So if you wouldn't mind, if you get some lunch with your family and then come back about 1:30 and we will get to work. We'll put all that stuff in the trucks. We'll get them down to the fairgrounds this week and begin the week this week. I'm really excited about what God's going to do with this thing. We have invited 76,000 people. Mailboxes, the exchange has gone out, our ad within the exchange last week. It'll be this week as well. All five counties, 17,000 flyers have gone out to all the school districts. So we believe God is going to work very powerfully this year. And you're a part of it. You're part of what he's doing in this community, in this town. If you'd like to come during this week, starting on Monday, Jackie, raise your hand, Jackie. Jackie's one of our team leaders for clothing. So if you want to come this week, they'll be there from about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning on. So if you want to help any day this week, there'll be somebody out at the fairgrounds every day in the Starnes building working on the clothes. And that's so if you want to help with that, it's great. If you're wanting to volunteer for the event this coming Friday, at 7 p.m. at First Baptist Church, we're going to have a volunteer rally. And we're going to be giving out shirts. We're going to be worshiping the Lord together with our other brothers and sisters in this town. And we are going to be in basically getting some instructions for the next day. So Saturday, October 11, if you can report to the fairgrounds at 7 o'clock in the morning, the grandstands is where we're going to meet. Ronnie and Sharon are graciously providing Hardee's sausage and biscuit and coffee. So if you want to come early and they've already provided breakfast for you, make sure you bring your Rolaids so you'll be in good business. So get yourself a biscuit and some coffee and we'll be in business. And we'll hopefully open the doors at 9 if everyone's ready. So we're excited about that week. And I think we ought to, I'd like one of our shepherds to come up and pray. David, would you come up and pray over this event and ask the Lord to bless this week?
You pray with me. Holy God and Father, we just come before you recognizing that we are so blessed in so many ways in our lives here. And we just, Father, we pray that you will help us in this coming week and coming Saturday to be able to reach out and share the blessings that you've given us. Father, at times we focus on material things and clothes and food and other matters, and those enable us and help us day by day. But Father, we know that the greatest blessings that you've given us are the love and forgiveness and mercy and peace that we can only have through you. And Father, through this event, we pray that we might be able to minister to this community in a manner that both helps with physical needs, but more importantly, makes those spiritual connections that can last throughout eternity. Guide our steps, move within our hearts, use us in your service. And Father, we pray that you'll open the hearts of those with whom we and other believers in this community come in contact with, that your name might be glorified. Father, we love you and we praise you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David. What do you smell like? Excuse me, that was a question. Huh? Well, if hopefully you've taken a shower this morning and hopefully you're smelling good this morning, that's what we do every day. We want to smell good. The nose is an amazing thing, okay? 10,000 different smells we can detect with our noses. Did you know women have a stronger sense of smell than men do? Guys, have you figured that out yet? I hope you have. Smells trigger memories. Isn't it amazing how you can, a certain smell can trigger a memory of something that happened 20, 30 years ago? And I find it very interesting that you can be in the same room with a bunch of people. One person smells something is terrible, and everybody else goes, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Everybody has a very unique sense of smell. In Tanzania, you have what's called daladalas. They are little Toyota vans, I guess if you want to call them that. And they have seats inside them. You can fit about 15 people in them. Well, in Africa, there's a rule, there's a principle in life. There's always room for one more. And you, if you've ever been on a daladala, it's quite an experience. 50 shillings, equivalent of about 20 cents, will get you the ride of your life. When I was in Morogoro, Tanzania, during language school, I was near Dar es Salaam, middle of Tanzania. I was going to language school, and I went one day. I just thought, I'm going to go downtown and I'm going to practice Swahili. So I got in, this daladala pulls up, and now there's some etiquette involved in this. It's really rude to refuse, so you kind of have to get on if they come, regardless of what you think. So this daladala pulls up, and there's a conductor, there's a guy. You know, this guy's the conductor. He sits up there and he calls out to people, you know, and you get in there and he takes your money and that kind of stuff. Well, this particular daladala was already had lots of people hanging on it, and there was lots of people waiting there. So this one pulls up and they put everybody on. And I'm standing there, this, you know, big fat white guy, and I know the eyes were going, you know, really big looking at me going, you're not going to get in here, are you? And the guy said, motioned me to come in. And so I kind of laid in there. I can't tell you how I got in there. But the thing I was thinking about during that time frame was, I'm sure glad I used dial this morning. Don't you wish everyone did? It was a long 2 miles to town. I think that was the one, too, that ran out of gas before we got there. But smell. Smell and culture is, in Africa, it's not a big deal. In Brazil, it's a huge deal. What you smell like, cheiroso, you smell good. You know? It's important in different cultures, how we smell. So what do you smell like spiritually? You may smell good physically this morning, but what do you smell like spiritually? Because whether we realize it or not, wherever we go, everywhere we go, everything we say, everything we do points to the fact that we have an odor that's coming from us. And is it bringing people to Jesus, or is it turning people away? What do you smell like? Are we making God smell good, or are we making him smell bad? Let's pray today as we begin. Father, we invite your Spirit to be present with us today and ask your Spirit to teach us as we talk about this incredible truth and responsibility that we have as your followers to be the aroma of Christ to a world that's perishing all around us. Help us make you look good, Lord, and smell good to this world. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting to me that in Corinth, where Corinth is today, that's about all we have as far as the temple that was there at one time. Corinth, as you know, is located in Greece, lower Greece. And it was a house churches that really stunk. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians about lots of different things that they were making the Lord look really bad in these communities in Corinth, in these house churches. So Paul was, you know, he sent the letter off and he was wondering, you know, what kind of response was he going to get, because he was pretty harsh in this letter towards them. And he sent Titus with a letter, and he's kind of wanted to hook up with Titus and wait for him. And so in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 2, he says, now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. You know, this isn't like Troas, it's right here. It's not like Paul could say, well, I think I'll just, you know, take a plane over to Corinth. I'll be there this afternoon. This took several weeks, sometimes a month, to get across this little area. So this wasn't a simple thing to try to find one guy. He's trying to find Titus, one of his co-workers. And listen to what he writes in verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell that brings death, to the other we are the smell that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? I find it interesting when you look at the cultural background of that text, when it says, Christ leads us in triumphal procession. This brings back the idea of the Roman general in the time of the first century when they would conquer a people. And they would come back to Rome in all the glory. They would throw this huge parade. And it was a lot of pomp and circumstance. I mean, everybody and their dog participated in it. You had the soldiers walking along proudly as they conquered these people, and they're all proud, and the people are shouting and cheering. You can imagine, you know, thousands of people lined up watching this go by. And it was interesting that the prisoners from this were taken, and they were paraded in front of everybody to say, look who we caught. We caught these prisoners. And most of the time they were going to their death after this they would be killed. But they would be paraded in front of people in triumphal procession. And it was interesting, the priest would hold these incense things where you could smell. I was thinking about this week of lighting a bunch of incense in this place. And then I got thinking, well, maybe some people might be a little allergic to that. So I didn't. But you get the idea, there was incense in the air. The smell of victory. You could smell it. And it was just all this pomp and circumstance. And then the Roman general would enter on his white horse. And everybody would be cheering his name. It was called the Triumph. It was one of the most glorious parades and honors a Roman general could get. And Paul is saying, that is exactly what Christ, our general, has done with us. We are his prisoners, quote unquote, that he's leading in triumphal procession. He's parading us through the world to show the world his glory, to display his honor and his praise. Just like those Romans, so just like those prisoners, we've been taken captive, but in a good way. We're soldiers of Christ, servants of righteousness. So what's our purpose? What purpose do we have? Why are we the aroma of Christ? It's to spread the knowledge of God's love, to spread the knowledge of Him. So when people get close to us, what do they smell? When people get close to you at work, when they see you at Walmart, when they see you in the community, what do they smell? Do they smell Christ? Or do they smell the world? Ladies, do any of you ladies want to get close to... That's real important for a guy to smell good, right? Any of you ladies like to get close to a guy that's been sweating a lot, profusely? Absolutely not. I don't know any woman that would want to get close to any man. Can I hear an amen, ladies? Am I right? And it's the same with guys. You know what I'm saying? How important is a woman's perfume to you? You know, it makes you go, va-va-va-voo. And just like Pepe Le Pew, you start going, oh, darling, you're so too much. Mm-hmm. We shall make beautiful music together. Mm-hmm. We shall scale the mountaintops of love. Mm-hmm. It's because they smell what good. That's what draws us to people. Did you know you make a decision 5 seconds into an encounter with somebody? Whether you realize it or not, you make a decision about how far this conversation is going to go based on how they smell. Do I need to explain that? Okay, good. So what purpose are we the aroma of Christ? It's to spread the knowledge of God's love. And the question I have wrestled with this week is how many people have walked away from Christ because I didn't smell too good? Anybody in ministry will tell you there are bad days, and I've had my share of them, where I just don't want to deal with one more thing. And I've had some encounters here at the office where somebody has come up, and I'm just tired. I don't want to deal with it anymore. And I hope and pray I have not been rude to people where they have thought, gee, they're not acting very Christ-like. I was talking to this lady about a month ago, and this lady called me at like the worst time. I was really stressed about something, and this you know how those telephone people call at the worst time, wanting you to buy something or wanting you to do something. And this lady calls, and I'm like, ma'am, I know I'm not acting very Christ-like now, and I'm really sorry, but I really don't want to talk to you, and I'm sorry. I don't want to make the Lord look bad. I thought to myself, how many people have walked away from Jesus because I didn't smell too good that day? Thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell that brings death. To the other, we are the smell that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Smell of incense to the people of Rome, man, it's about victory. But to the smell of incense to the prisoners, it meant death, because they were going to be killed normally after this parade. So, which fragrance are we? Death or life? What makes Christians stink? Kind of looks like Morris, doesn't it? Except without the suspenders. I like his ties better, though. What makes Christians stink? Negative words. Hey, did you hear about what so-and-so did? Hey, we're supposed to pray for him, but did you hear about what they did? Well, we're going to pray for them here in a minute, but it's gossip. Can't you do anything right? Did you hear about what someone's... We kill our witness for Christ. We make Jesus stink with our negative words, with our mouths. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words reveal what's in our hearts. Self-righteousness. I think there's nothing more stinky than someone that acts very self-righteously. Somebody that walks around going, you know, I don't smoke and I don't drink and I went to church twice this week. What about you? And we start pointing the fingers at everybody around us. Why don't you quit smoking? Why don't you quit doing that? Why don't you get your act together? Joylessness. You know, there is no reason why Christians should be oozing joy. I mean, we should have it permeating from us. But instead, we walk around with a trash bag, with a bad attitude, you know, griping and complaining about everything, acting just like everybody else. Man, if we can't be full of joy, who can? We should be the ones. And I'm not talking about walking around with a fake smile all day. But I'm saying having a joy and a peace about things emanates the aroma of Christ. probably the thing that makes Jesus stink the most is hypocrisy. Talking the talk, but not walking the walk. The greatest cause of atheism today is Christians. We make Jesus smell bad. So what makes Christians smell good? What makes us smell good? I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you came to visit me. It doesn't take a PhD to love your fellow man. How simple can it be? Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? You weren't one of those creepy people that used to come to the door, were you? That wasn't my ministry. I wasn't called to that. When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? Well, I just didn't have time. When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. We encounter Jesus in the poor. Have you seen him? Have you seen Jesus? I have encountered Jesus in the strangest places. And this is the judgment scene, the day of judgment. And I find it interesting in this passage that Jesus gathers every human being that's ever lived since Adam and Eve. And he gathers them as sheep and goats, the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. And he says, here's the evidence that those on my right are kingdom people. They smell good. They loved. And it's not to say that we are saved by doing good deeds for other people. No, that is the evidence of salvation within. The cross of Jesus saves us. We can't save ourselves. But Jesus says, here's the evidence that on my right, these are my people, my sheep. They loved the least. The goats, he says, I was in the least, but you didn't love me. There's no evidence in your heart that you've changed. Go away from me. I find it incredible that we walk by Jesus every single day. And like you, I'm often in a hurry and I got my agenda and I got things I need to do and I just don't have time. And I struggle too with that. And I like what Paul says, who is equal to such a task? I mean, that's a pretty big responsibility, being the aroma of Christ to the world, is it not? Who is equal to such a task? The Spirit of God that lives within us, the power of Jesus Christ transforming your heart and transforming your life, will give you the power and the joy and the love and the lack of hypocrisy and the desire to want to love the least. Because there's days I'm not doing a very good job. I mean, I make the Lord stink. And say, Lord, please help me make you smell good. See, it's the Spirit of God within us that helps us to love the least. And as we repent and as we ask God for forgiveness and we ask God, Lord, please, He answers that prayer. Jackie will tell you a very touching story that happened last year at the event. She was working in the clothing area, and a woman in a wheelchair came. And she, you know, was just talking to her face to face. She hadn't really looked down yet, and the woman was wanting some socks. Isn't that right, Jackie? She was wanting slippers. And so Jackie was trying to help her find some slippers, and the next thing she realized, she looked down and she had no feet. She had stubs. Here she was just wanting to cover her stubs. And I admire her, Jackie, so much, and for all the people that of you that were involved last year, how you loved. You showed love to people that needed dentistry stuff. You showed love to the medical. Everybody that came in that place, God did some amazing things. 3,100 people. And I'm not saying we need to smell good just this week with the convoy event. I'm talking about it being a lifestyle at the workplace, in my home, in the school. Are you ready to meet Jesus this week? You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You're also the aroma of Christ. Make Him smell good this week. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for the times that we've made you smell very bad. Our hypocrisy, our self-righteousness, our negativity. And I just pray this week, may it become a lifestyle to us, Lord. Not just for this convoy event, but every day to make you smell good in the workplace, in the home, and in our community. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if we can assist you in any way, won't you stand as we come and sing?
Can we get you up? Melba, would you like to come up, please? Is Melba still back there? Let's play like she's here, too.